Good afternoon. I'm Richard Dayoub, President and CEO of the Greater El Paso Chamber of Commerce, and this is another episode of El Paso Primetime. So we welcome our Saturday afternoon audience to a program today, and we have back, returning by popular demand, we have Daniel Valdez representing Undergrads College Consulting and Tours. We had you on a couple of months ago, along with your sidekick and troublemaker, Luis Martinez, who was unable to make it through traffic today to join us. By the way, that's the excuse everybody likes to use today.
The traffic.
But in a couple of years when all the construction is done, they're going to have to come up with another excuse. But special guests with Daniel today are Josh Ramirez, an Eastwood High School senior, and hiding in the corner, away from the microphone, is Josh Ramirez's mother, who's here to make sure that Daniel and I behave ourselves and treat Josh well. So without further ado, first of all, welcome to both of you.
Thank you, sir. It's good to be back.
Thank you for being back. It's great to have you here. So let's kick off with you, Daniel, just filling in our audience, some of whom may have not heard this original show that we did. Talk a little bit about undergrads and what they do, why they exist, and why you and Luis work so hard on this.
Well, thank you for having us back, Mr. Dayoub. My name is Daniel Valdez, Executive Director and Co-Founder of Undergrads College Consulting and Tours. And our program consists of providing students with the opportunity to expand their educational horizons, to look for different college options that they might have or that they might be looking to accommodate their future with. So what we do is our program stems from three major different parts, which the first one is leadership. So when students apply to our program, they're enrolled in Saturday classes, which consist of monthly classes that we take at different locations around the city. And we build them and we develop them, their networking skills, their marketing skills. Also, we help them with all of the different components that help make them superstars, so that when they go on the trip, they know exactly what to ask, what to look for, and whatnot. That all culminates with the actual college tour that we take in the summer. This year we took a tour to the East Coast. We visited 12 different schools. We also had an opportunity to go to the White House and also to the Department of Education and visit some key players as well. And in addition, we take them to a lot of other fun stuff. Like we took them to a Red Sox game. We took them to Plymouth Plantation, visit the Statue of Liberty and some other places as well. After we come back from the tour, we then enter the navigational piece of our program, which helps students through the whole entire college readiness process, through applications, through signing up for different accounts, and just making sure that they have everything they need so when they enter their senior year, they're ready to go to apply to college.
So what you're telling me is I missed the opportunity for my daughter, who's now a senior, to have participated in this program.
As far as the tour, yes. But as far as the services afterwards, she is always welcome to come to us. We will always be there to help
her out. Well, of course, you know I'm just playing with you.
Yes, sir.
So without further ado, then, I think I'd like to hear from one of the products of this incredible program. Josh, why don't you tell us a little bit about what your experience has been?
It was great. I have never been to so many universities. But the overall experience was phenomenal. All these universities that I've dreamed of, I got to stand there. I got to meet people who go to these universities. I got to talk to the dean of admissions. I think that was the biggest takeaway, was that it wasn't just a campus tour. It was really personalized, and we got to speak with students. So it was great. I loved it.
So you singled out any universities in particular that you'd like to attend?
Well, all Ivy Leagues usually carry the same weight. They're all very prestigious, but after visiting all of them, Yale was beyond beautiful. I loved it. And my second choices would probably be Harvard and Columbia. They're just tied. I think all Ivy Leagues have something special with them, but just those two, obviously, they're so phenomenal for what they're known for. Their campuses are in the heart of like education and research. All of that intrigues me. So,
well, that's great news, and I agree with you. Although I'm a little surprised, given that you told me you have a passion for STEM, that you weren't mentioning MIT among those universities.
Oh, yeah. Well, I have more of a dislike towards MIT after visiting it, and I wouldn't have thought this before the tour.
Well, I'm hoping no one from MIT is listening to
this. No, I hope not.
I don't know. Well, reading the brochures for MIT, I was thinking, man, this is a perfect engineering school and everything. But once I stepped on campus, I immediately felt that it wasn't for me. The cement buildings, I didn't feel like it was a part of me. The students that I met with seemed very stressed. They seemed like they did not feel passionate about certain subjects that they were talking about. And that kind of drew me off of MIT. So,
well, I understand what you're saying, and I would offer this as an observation. When you go to schools of that magnitude in particular, there's such competition, pure competition among the students, that if the stress isn't high enough already from the professors in whose courses you're sitting, the peer pressure to compete and, you know, you got a 3.9, well, I've got to get a 3.95 on my GPA, that kind of a challenge does put a lot of pressure on these students because they're vying for job opportunities after graduation, and they're trying to compete with one another so they can get the best jobs. And that is a bit of an additional amount of stress that you probably don't want as a student if you can avoid it, right? Yeah. I think that stress level exists to a greater or lesser degree in many university systems, but certainly at the Ivy League schools, maybe even more so than usual. So with that in mind, then, let's talk a little bit about the process, if we could, Daniel, for those students out there and their parents in particular who might be interested in what you're having to offer. And let's talk a little bit about cost, how that's managed. Would you cover all that?
So our program, right now we're in our recruiting season to go ahead and take applications. We've moved from a standardized paper application to an online one. So individuals and parents and students can visit our website, which is www.undergradsCCT.com, and click on the 2017 application to start filling that out. In terms of the program price itself, it costs $2,700. $2,700 to go ahead and apply. And that covers the airline, the charter bus that we have. That also includes the lodging. The only thing it doesn't cover is the food costs. So, but everything else is included with that. It also includes the additional activities that we have planned, like when we go to the Red Sox game, or when we go visit Plymouth Plantation, or when we take the ferry ride from New Jersey to New York and stop by Ellis Island and look at the Statue of Liberty, or even the subway ride that we had from Times Square all the way to Columbia University, which was an experience
that
in itself.
That was a great experience.
That was awesome. We didn't see any sewer rats or any alligators, so that was good. But it includes all that in addition to the Saturday sessions that we have, and then the extra guidance that we give our students once they come back, and support once they come back from the tour in terms of helping them through their essays, the different applications that they have for housing, or just creating an account for the Common App or the Texas App or whichever college they want to go to and apply for. So that price includes the whole entire program in itself. So
going back to my earlier humorous comment, only it was kind of quasi-humorous, but the point being, for those families, those parents, those students who – like Josh now, my daughter, are already entering their senior year, too late for the summer tour, you offer this program for them, the essay piece, the prep piece during the school year. What's the cost to participate in that?
That one, it's on a case-by-case basis, depending on how much help the student needs. But we're willing to talk to any parent, any student that is wishing to partner with us in terms of receiving our services. We can come in with a price, and then we can help their student out through whichever particulars that they have. Because some students have already taken the SAT. They're just more worried about their essay, or they're worried more about how do I get the process started in terms of the application. And so those would be things that can be negotiated in terms of the price.
Okay. Well, you're careful not to give out pricing. I used to deal with a real estate agent like that. So – moving on then, let's talk a little bit about the tour itself, the universities that you visited. I've got this great sheet in front of me, but our audience would prefer to hear from you.
So this year's college lineup included Georgetown, American University, UPenn, Swarthmore, which was the very first time we had ever visited there, Princeton, Columbia, Yale, Wesleyan, Brown, Harvard, MIT, and then Boston University. So that was a lineup.
And UPenn, for those who don't know, is the University of Pennsylvania located in Philadelphia.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Great. And on these VIP visits, which really caught my attention as I was looking over the sheet, talk a little bit about that for me, please.
So we start our tour off in Washington, D.C., and we visit Georgetown and American University there. But we also want to expose our students to the culture and some of the politics that are located in Washington, D.C. This year we had the opportunity to visit the Department of Education. And when we first contacted them, we wanted to get in touch with Dr. Lisa Ramirez, who's the director of migrant education there. And when she heard about our program, she was very interested. Obviously, this was the first time we had ever contacted her. And when we mentioned that we had different students from El Paso, she's visited this area, but she was more interested in terms of getting the bios for these students, what kind of students were actually coming on this tour. So when we sent that over, she was very impressed with the caliber of students we were bringing. And, of course, she shot that over to her boss, Dr. John King Jr., who is the U.S. Secretary of Education. And when he read all the bios for the students that we had submitted, he said, I got to meet these students. So we had a private, I want to say about an hour and a half, two-hour session with both Dr. King Jr. and Dr. Ramirez. And he was sat with them on at their tables and had very candid discussions about the current state of education, the direction of education, where and how these students influence the decisions that are made in D.C. And it was just a great experience for them. It was a great experience for me. I mean, meeting my boss's boss in D.C. was just awesome. We did have an opportunity to take a photo op with him, and he was holding our banner that we held with you here in the same studio, which was the CSEP Weather El Paso banner. And he also threw up the U for undergrads as well, too, in our group picture. So we were very excited to see him, meet him, and also learn what his vision was for the course of education.
Well, thank you for giving us that little bit of background. So you've been doing this now for how long?
We're entering our third year. So this is our third year.
Our third year. So you've just completed the third tour or the second
the
tour?
The second
tour.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I know that's a short span of time, but do you have any records, any information regarding the students who've completed the program thus far? Obviously not the ones who are incoming seniors yet. How many of those kids were able to get scholarships, grants, any kind of special advantages, if you will, as a result of their experience, coupled obviously with their grade point average in high school?
So during our first tour, we had seven rising seniors. And so we helped them out during the navigation process to, again, get their application started, look up scholarships, and just make sure that they were ready to go when they applied. We had two ladies from Eastlake who attended Texas A&M on scholarships as well, too. The amounts I don't have with me. We had a lady who got, one of the females that got into UT Austin, so Hook'em Horns, that's my alma mater. She got there with a 3/4 partial scholarship from UT itself, and then she's also going to be receiving some work-study money as well, too. Then we had another young lady who got into Notre Dame, full ride as well, too. Her goal was to attend one of the Ivies, but they had her wait listed, so she decided to go for their second choice, which was Notre Dame.
Not a bad second choice.
No. We had two other ladies who got accepted into Wellesley College, which is an all-girls college, one of them being the salutatorian at Canutillo High School, and she attended on a full-ride scholarship. What's interesting about her is that would have never been one of her first choices or any of her selected colleges unless she would have gone on the tour. When she went on there and she saw what they had and she experienced the energy and just what Wellesley had to offer, she was like, this is the college that I want to apply for. And so we fought really hard for her to make sure that she had everything in, and she got in. So she's proud to be over there, and we're proud to go ahead and visit her hopefully during the next trip. And then finally, Mr. Cisneros, who was here on your show, just started at the campus of Harvard yesterday, I believe.
He did get accepted to Harvard.
He got into Harvard. Wow. He got there pretty much on a full ride, so he didn't have to pay anything out of pocket. So that was a tremendous financial aid package that they gave him, and he was just super excited. I really wanted to go with him, but he didn't have enough space for me. But those are some of the seniors that graduated during the first cohort of the first cohort that we had. So this year we're expected to have a large number of seniors that we're going to be helping. So hopefully we'll have some more statistics next time we're here.
Well, let's talk about some basics since we've missed the opportunity this summer for the tour. That was, I think, we met and interviewed the last time right before you were getting ready to launch your efforts for this last tour you did. So let's talk to the students out there and their parents. Timetable. Here you are. You're an entering senior in a high school in El Paso. You want to go to college next fall somewhere. What process, what timing would you advise students and their parents? You're presumably taking your SATs now and your ACTs, and I guess now we have the TSI as well, the third exam. And so you get that done by this fall if you haven't already taken them in the previous spring as a junior. In terms of beginning to choose schools you want to apply to and submissions, what would you advise?
What I would advise is to go ahead and make a list of your top five universities and then make a list of your either the local schools or your backup schools that you want to go ahead and apply to. So shoot high in terms of the top three that you want or the top five that you're really considering. And then once you make those selections for those schools that you want, then the next process would be to start looking at the deadlines that they have. I think we don't put enough emphasis on the deadlines, and we have a lot of students that then forego the deadline and then are wondering how they can get back on track with that university, or they find out that because they missed a deadline, that school's no longer available for them as an option. So deadlines for admissions, deadlines for the FAFSA, which is now coming or starting in October, so it'll be starting early. That's also very crucial in terms of securing their financial aid for those universities that they want. And then any scholarship opportunities, not just the ones that are located here local or the big-time scholarships that exist, but also digging deep within the college website and really maybe even contacting the department of the major that they want to go into and making those connections and asking if they have any scholarships there as well too. I think a lot of high school students make the assumption that once they leave high school, there's no more scholarships available to them, which is not true. They're available to them while they're on the college campus. So deadlines are typically the biggest thing that I would stress out in terms of making sure that you can go ahead and really put those on your calendar and then really take a look at what's coming up. The other thing that I would advise would be to also look at the college essays that are coming up, because those are crucial for students to go ahead and make sure they have all the information that helps them really speak out about who they are and why they want to go to these universities. I think everyone that applies for the most part to the Ivy Leagues looks the same on paper. So how are these students, or how do you differentiate yourself through the essay to make sure that they understand who you are as a person?
Very interesting. So let's talk a little bit about the deadlines you emphasize so strongly. Give me an example. Maybe you want to go to A&M or to Rice University or UT Austin or your alma mater.
Yes.
By the way, technically it's an alma mater for me too. I've already put two students through there.
Yes,
you
have.
My money, as the phrase goes on the bumper sticker. And my kids, you know, went to UT Austin. Typical timing for a deadline for admissions applications?
Depending on whether or not they're applying, like for example, if you're applying early decision or early action, those dates can be as soon as November. Some state schools, like for example, UT Austin, I don't know if it's changed, but in the past it's been December 1st. And so a lot of students assume that it's going to be in the springtime. But the fall is typically the time where students need to have a plan in action to be able to go ahead and meet these deadlines. So it's all about understanding which route to go. If they're going to go Ivy, again, some universities have early action, early decision, and some of those decisions are binding. So if they get in, they get accepted, they technically cannot go to another school. They can't enroll anywhere else, or else they break a contract. Some other school.
I thought that was only for athletes.
No, that's for students as well too.
That, is that, that was, right?
Yes, sir.
So once you've accepted Harvard University,
and if you get accepted someplace else, you have to turn them down because you've already entered into a contract with Harvard saying you are my number one. I want to go here, and if I go here, I'm going to go ahead and attend. So there's a lot of lingo that goes along also with the college readiness mm-hmm. process that some parents and some students don't understand, and that's something that we try to go ahead and provide for our students as well too through our program.
I want to be sure I understand this clearly, and just as importantly, our listening audience. So the contract that you just referred to, does that apply to the student irrespective of whether or not they're getting financial aid from that university?
If they get in, they have to commit, And so it, even if another college offers them a full ride, and let's say this university does not, they still have to.
You still have to go there.
Yes.
That's very. Yeah. This is all new knowledge.
So for students that have that number one choice, like for example, Josh, you said your number one was Yale. If he applies, you know, depending on which program they have, admissions program they have, either early action or early decision, if it's binding and he gets into Yale, that's where he's going
to
go.
That was actually one of my biggest issues before narrowing it down to Yale. Is I love Yale, Columbia, and Harvard, especially after coming back from these trips. Yale wasn't even on my list, and then I went on this trip, and I loved Yale so much. But choosing one with early action, early decision was scary because if I don't get accepted into Yale, then I miss the opportunity of early action to Harvard and Columbia. Because early action, the way it works is you can only apply to one university early action. And if you get into that early action, then you get in automatically.
But if you don't, you've already missed the opportunity, as you said, to go to the other schools that were on your top of your list. So maybe in many students' cases, unless they're valedictorian of their class with a 4.0 GPA and a list of references, they may not want to go into the early action piece and simply begin to apply to the multiple universities that they're interested in attending.
Right. I mean, and these universities that provide these options also have a regular admissions deadline. So it's all about knowing which deadline they want to go ahead and apply. Depending on what their number one choice, number two, number three, number four, or five is.
That's very, very interesting. A moment ago, you mentioned FAFSA. Mm-hmm. So I want to tell our listening audience, now we've actually had guests on to talk about FAFSA Nights. And so that program is known as Free Application for Federal Student Aid, FAFSA, FAFSA Nights. And it's important to note what Daniel said a moment ago, and that is, unlike in the past, where FAFSA Nights were held in February of each year, beginning this year, it starts in October. October 1 through the entire month of October. We will do it again in February, but it gives families an early opportunity because they no longer need to wait for this year's tax returns. They can use the previous year's tax returns, so 15, to submit their applications for FAFSA this October. And all you have to do is check with your counselors at your various high schools, because we're doing it with all the high schools in the entire area, all 9 school districts. I know a little bit about this because the Chamber leads that FAFSA Night initiative in partnership with the Community College, University of Texas, El Paso, Region 19, and, of course, all the high schools, their principals and their counselors are partners with us on this initiative. It's critically important because by doing that, you become eligible for not just potential grants, right, but also low-cost loans and scholarships. Critical to that last point, scholarships, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Anything you care to add to that?
No, I just want to address the audience by saying we're here to help your students out. We're here to provide them the opportunities. A lot of these universities that we visit have loan-free tuition, which means that these universities will try their best to go ahead and build in zero loans so that when they graduate, their debt is zero, so that they have work study, they have grants, and they have scholarships that supplement their time when they're there. So we just want to, again, just express to any listeners, parents, or students, our program does exist. We're here to help students out, again, provide them the opportunities, and we look forward to receiving any questions or any comments. We encourage you to visit our website, or also our Facebook as well, too, so you can take a look at any of the pictures that we took during our tour and the people that we met.
So just to reiterate to our audience, the website is undergradsCCT.com. That's undergrads, plural, CCT.com. Go to the website. Again, our guests today are Daniel Valdez, one of the co-founders of Undergrads College Consulting and Tours, and one of their star pupils, an incoming, now actively engaged senior at Eastwood High School, Josh Ramirez, who hopes to go to school at Yale. You know that President Bush went to Yale, right?
And Clinton,
right.
Oh,
just want to point that out to you. So you might be listening right now to one of our future presidents of the United States.
Correct? You can get his autograph.
Any closing comments from either one of you? Feel free to do so.
Well, Ivy Leagues is definitely an option, and I really hope more El Pasoans choose to go to an Ivy League university, that I'm not the only one there, and that this is a dream that I've always wanted. And I really want to thank Undergrads College Consulting and Tours for letting me go on this trip with them.
Super.
I just want to thank you, Mr. Dave, for giving us a platform to voice our program and to let the city of El Paso know that we're here. We want to provide students opportunities, and we're happy to help in any which way.
Well, it's our pleasure to have you on the show. Education for the Chamber is our number one priority, improving the quality of education, improving the completion rates in our school systems, K-12. Just as importantly, maybe more importantly, is that transition period. How many more students are we having as entering college freshmen that complete their four-year education? It's just absolutely paramount. There's an initiative in Texas. Actually, it's being led by the Higher Education Coordinating Board, and helped to develop that was an El Pasoan, Woody Hunt, who is a former member of the Higher Education Coordinating Board, and he has been helping to push this initiative across the state. And that's the 60 by 30. That's 60% of our high school students who graduate complete college by the year 2030. We want to have that level of performance by 2030. And we're strongly in support of that initiative. It's critically important, not only for those students and their families, but for our economy, for the growth of our community, our economic development initiatives depend critically by having a educated and well-trained workforce. So I see from Dennis that we're running out of time. So I'll give our audience one more website to visit, ktep.org. If you don't know that by now, we're going to drill that into you on every show. That's important to us because you're a listener of KTEP. By extension, that means you're also a listener to NPR. And KTEP is a nonprofit organization. It's publicly funded. There are no commercials. And so the way they can pay for all these programs is through the generosity of our listeners. So I want to encourage you, take a moment, go on the website, make a contribution, however small, however large, or you can call KTEP directly at 747-5152. I promise you, your $5, your $10, your $25 makes a big difference. I personally have them draft my bank account every single month. That way I'm a sustaining member, and that way it's out of sight, out of mind. You forget about it, and you're helping out so we can run programs like this, educational and informational. Again, you've been listening to El Paso Primetime. Have a great Saturday, and thank you for listening.